Welcome to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. Very, very good to be with you guys. And I almost didn't think we were going to get on the air tonight, you know.
Yeah, you had to plug it in.
Yeah, and the next time you make a crack about how they had it in the wrong hole, okay?
Well, that's what I heard Matt say, and I thank you, Phil, for mentioning that.
No, he said it had the wrong hole.
Yeah, and all I said was that's what she said.
Was that all you said? I don't want to hear that again. Do you understand? Apparently we had a cable mix-up. It happens. And Matt's information down the line was from our remote studio. A cable was in the wrong input, or the wrong hole, if you will, and smartass here...
Yeah, man, you don't do it.
I didn't do anything.
You said that's... If I hear that's what she said one more time, I swear to God, I cannot vouch for the safety of people...
Yeah. Okay, well, we don't have to get that crazy. But anyway, welcome to the program, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show tonight. I saw this thing in the news that was very interesting. 10 things to think about, or 10 things to watch for Wednesday. Wednesday being the news day. This is from AP. More trouble in the U.S. nuclear arsenal. Air Force officials tell the AP that twice this year, officers entrusted missile launch keys left a blast door intended to help stop intruders open. Air Force officials tell the AP that twice this year, officers entrusted missile launch keys left a blast door intended to help stop intruders open. I don't know how serious that is. That sounds like a long way to run for something that... All right, intruders would be at the worst... The worst-case scenario would be foreign... I mean, what would it be?
Well, I would imagine foreign spies.
Yeah, probably like a foreign terrorist.
Yeah, if the terrorists got in.
All right, well, you don't want terrorists to get into the missile launch silos, that's for sure. But then they would have to know that there's such a thing as a blast door, wouldn't they? And I don't know. How many guys are at these launch sites? The reason why I say, and the reason why I found this interesting, is I don't know how many of you have been aware of some of these recent programs that on History Channel, Military Channel, and other places, because that's where a dull creep like me, I mean, I shouldn't say it, but that's where I hang out, you know? I just don't hang out on regular television. I'm watching history and... documentary, you know.
Yeah, and I really think that's what's hurting your show. I really do, Phil.
Oh, is that what's hurting my show?
Yes, and try not to be sarcastic. You need to be watching Boardwalk Empire. You need to be watching Game of Thrones. You need to be watching Walking Dead. You need to be watching, which you can't watch anymore, Breaking Bad. All of these programs, Phil, are far more relevant. Relevant.
I understand about relevancy. Okay.
Yeah, Margaret's right, if I may, and I'm not trying to be a smartass, but they are more relevant, you know.
But it sounds like you're mocking me when you do that, and I'm going to kick...
Hey, watch it.
Tell them to do...
Are you making fun of her?
No.
Yeah, you've got to be more relevant.
Okay, that's it.
Oh, here she goes.
Good.
Okay, now I'm sitting back down.
That's what you get for opening your big fat mouth. All right, in any event... Whether I'm relevant or not, I think I'm relevant enough, but here, how's this for relevance? In 1982 or 83, the Soviet Union almost opened up on us with all of their nuclear missiles. Is that relevant enough for you?
1982?
Well, I'm telling you something that a lot of people don't know. A lot of people don't know that World War III almost started. The Russians thought we'd opened up on them, and they turned around, and they were ready to just go ahead and blast us.
Well, how'd that happen?
How it happened was that the computer system that the Russians... It happened, number one, because the Soviets were super paranoid of us at that time. Reagan had just been elected, and he'd just given that evil empire speech. Okay, that's number one. So now they know they got this hard ass they're dealing with. Number two, the Korean jetliner was shot down by those Soviet fighter jets over this so-called restricted airspace in those northern... islands of Japan that the Russians have staked their claim over as a result of World War II. So this Korean jetliner was downed, and now the United States and the West was really going ape. I mean, there were people ready to storm embassies and, you know, you dirty, stinking commies, look what you did. So now the Russians are, like, super paranoid, you know.
You call them a stinking commie and everything?
Yeah, I mean, that was pretty much... Ronald Reagan had just been elected president. He made no bones about the fact that he didn't like these Soviets. He didn't like these commies. Not that anybody did or does, other than commies, but Reagan was particularly vociferous and calamitous and saber-rattling-ous, you know?
Yeah.
So,
You know what he means.
Yeah, I do.
Take it easy, okay? So what happened, and then after Reagan was yelling all that stuff, they shoot down this Korean jetliner, and that really got people bugged. So the Russians got real paranoid, because they're over there thinking, well, we got this guy Reagan, and now they're all pissed off. These guys are going to attack. We don't know, because they had a lot of old guard guys in charge over there. They had all of these Cold War veterans over there, man. They had Andropov, they had Brezhnev, they had Kosygin. They had these guys that were real old school, came from the old, you know, these dirty, degenerate Westerners with their decadent this and their bourgeois that and their capitalist this and their, you know, their materialism that. And opiate of the masses, all that commie stuff. And so they thought of us in only one way, you know, a dying system that sooner or later was going to be overtaken by the workers' state, which was the Soviet Union, and, you know, and we were just evil. Just about probably as evil as they thought that we thought that they were. So anyway, make a long story short, one night, and thank God for this man, and his name is well known to history, although I haven't bothered to look it up because...
Why not?
Because I was just lazy.
Oh, that's great. Here's a man who's known to history.
Take it easy, Margaret. I'll get his name.
If it was you, I think you'd want your name mentioned, wouldn't you?
I suppose. Yes, I would. This man, he was a Soviet army officer. He's looking at the big screen that can detect missile launches all over the world. These computers, the satellites that the Russians were using, the spy satellites they were using, like ours, were geared to detect missile launches so that they could protect their country. And sure enough, they detect multiple missile launches in the United States. The United States has fired multiple rockets toward Russia. It's right there on the screen. Now, this guy is an experienced officer, and it doesn't make any sense. Multiple missile launches? He picks up the phone. He talks to his superior. He says, I don't know. And the guy says, what do you think? He says, I don't buy it. I think there's something wrong. He hangs up the phone. No sooner does he hang up the phone, he sees more multiple missile launches until finally there are hundreds. And now he is freaking out. And again, he resists the temptation and what was his right to go ahead and put the key in, man, and turn the switch.
So he could launch rockets.
Yeah, on his own discretion, I believe. He'd already contacted his superior, but he resisted the temptation because he just wasn't buying what he was seeing. Well, the end of the story, making a long story even longer but shorter all at once, was the following. There happened to have been a cloud cover that night that for whatever reason, for a once-in-a-lifetime reason, it reflected the sun right into the optic eye of this satellite, spy satellite, that was detecting these missile launches. And what this reflecting sun ray was doing was obviously confusing the computer. So the computer read missile launches and was feeding that back to Russia. And were it not for this one lone man who saw this and kept his head about him and said, no, this is bullcrap, and he went on the phone, they would have been within their rights, I suppose, although somebody ought to buy him some new computers.
Then did they have Apple then or not?
What do you mean, did they have Apple then?
Man, they don't have Apple computers, man. Even if they had Apple.
The answer is no, they probably didn't. Well, maybe I don't know if they had Apple computers. They had Russian computers.
Did Apple, it probably, because they don't have viruses and stuff.
This isn't a virus, you gloid. No.
Don't call him a gloid.
Sorry, it's not a virus. It was the reflecting sun rays.
Whatever, but Steve Jobs would never have let that happen.
Yeah, okay, bud. Sure, Steve Jobs, he would have been right on it. Anyway, so there was no nuclear strike by the Russians, and this guy, he was censored, he was demoted, he was stripped of his rank, he was punished. He was punished by the Soviet authorities for what one can only imagine, probably the fact that his action made them look bad. Who knows? But he was, the good news is, after the fall of the Soviet Union and with the institution of a more democratic process in Russia, he was rehabilitated by the military. He was given he was restored to his grade, he was given his back pay, and he was hailed by the succeeding generation as a guy that, you know, saved the world, at least on that one particular night, from a terrible thing, you know.
That's an amazing... We should know his name. What? I want his name. Bud, look it up.
I don't know how to spell Russian names.
Look it up.
I don't know how to do a Russian name. Oh, give me a break, man. Russian name's easy to do.
You can look up Russian names, man. They start with some kind of a letter. I don't know.
Good luck.
What am I going to do?
I'll help you. All right, so we'll be back here on a world-famous Phil Hendry show. And news? Well, there is a call to action by President Obama. He wants people who are supporters of Obamacare to get with it, man, to start, standing up for the tribe, start to represent and to do battle if need be with those that are, you know, opposed to Obamacare as they get this thing straight up. Speaking of computer glitches, man, speaking of the rays of the sun.
Woo!
We'll be back, world famous Phil Hendry Show at philhendryshow.com. And it's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. Go to philhendryshow.com for your backstage pass. Watch live streaming video of our show. That's right, you see me on camera. It may be a shocker. It might frighten you. It could be something that is worth your while. You can see how we do this thing, which is what we call a show.
Why did you applaud that?
Because it's amazing how many people forget that that's what they're doing, a show. Show. You see? It ain't, I'm not giving a lecture, I'm not a college professor, I'm not a religious cleric, I'm not standing in a pulpit giving a sermon. That's a sermon. And then there's a lecture. And then there are discussions. But a show is a show. And I never want to make the mistake of anybody thinking it's something other than that. And if you think of talk shows in that context, most of them start to sound kind of silly as they go on and on and on ad nauseum about all these serious things. It's really just a three-ring circus that you're listening to. Speaking of three-ring circuses, don't we have some circus news?
We do have circus news. I don't know where you wanted to put... I don't know what your fixation is with circuses.
Yeah, we do have a circus, and there's a circus coming to town.
Okay, a circus coming to town. What does that mean?
Well, we found about a circus coming to town.
Yeah.
Well, are they going to be riding elephants? Because if we get into that discussion again...
Bud?
They may be on an I don't know.
What is it with you guys? There's a circus coming. All I want to know is about animals being abused, because that's a big thing with me. You understand that?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm looking at it.
You're looking at it, huh? So any circus that's afoot in this country, I want to know about it. I got nothing against circuses, nothing against clowns, acrobats. I don't care if the humans kill themselves. That's fine. In fact, it's very entertaining. But the animals, no.
You have got to be kidding me.
I am kidding. All right, so... I found the name of this man, a great man. Yes, he was. His name, last name, Petrov. And his first name, if you'll forgive me, I'm going to try to find my way through this gentleman's name. He is of a Russian. His first name, Stanislav. Middle name, or perhaps his mother's maiden name. I don't know how they do that. Yevgrovovich. Yegrofovich. Stanislav Yegrofovich Petrov.
Yeah, you're all rolling the R and everything.
Well, you don't speak Russian, Phil.
I know I don't.
Well, what's with the Petrov? You know, you're rolling the R.
Trying to make it look like a big shot.
Hey, you want to see me be a big shot? Watch this right hand connect before you even see it move. That's a big shot.
I'm sorry.
Uh-huh. So anyway, trying to look like a big shot. All I'm trying to do is... What's with you with Mrs. French pronunciation?
Yes, that's French, Phil. That is a... A romantic tongue, that is a poetic tongue.
Excuse me. The Russians are some of the most poetic people on the face of the earth, okay?
I know that, Phil. I'm very aware of the Russian tradition of literature. But...
Yeah?
Forget it.
Yeah. Every time you say that, I know I beat you in the argument.
Where are the White Owls?
And Margaret, with the White Owl cigars, you know, smoke them out there, please.
I beg your pardon?
Smoke the White Owls out there, please, because it stinks this joint up like a funeral parlor, if you don't mind.
You really got a pair on you.
I don't want her smoking those cigars in here. You understand that?
I tried to tell her the other day.
I don't care. I don't want her smoking White Owls, Dutch Masters. I don't care if it's a good cigar, but when she lights up those stogies that are right out of a dumpster, you got to be kidding.
Well, not out of a dumpster.
As far as I'm concerned, they are. You smoke a White Owl, man, you might as well be smoking... cat turd. Thank you.
Hey.
Thank you. I remember back in the day when I smoked, and this is way back in the day, We used to smoke those Tipperillos. You ever smoke any of those? Those Tipperillos, they had a wooden...
Well, I don't know about that.
They had a wooden, what the hell, holder. And they came out of the box that way.
The wood was attached?
Yeah. And these Tipperillos were just the worst taste in garbage. And we also smoked those Swisher Sweets. And then some of these kids, I say kids because I didn't do this, would take those Shermans, those dark cigarettes, and spray them with rat poison. I swear to God, and smoke that. I shouldn't be talking about this because there's some dumbass that's going to try it.
You talk about a kid being influenced.
I'm not worried about a kid being influenced. Some adult is liable to do it. All right, so anyway, the gentleman's name was Stanislav Yegrofovich Petrov. He was the officer on duty when the warning system reported a U.S. missile launch. Petrov kept calm, suspecting a computer error. The system then reported another U.S. missile launch, and another, and another, and another. What had actually happened, investigators later determined, was sunlight on high-altitude clouds aligning with the satellite view on a U.S. missile base. In the command post, there were beeping signals, flashing lights, and officers screaming at people to remain calm. According to several accounts, there was a large flashing screen from the automated computer system saying simply start, which is presumably, the word start in Russian. Afterward, when investigators asked Petrov why he hadn't written everything down in the logbook, Petrov replied, because I had a phone in one hand and the intercom in the other, and I don't have a third hand. That's probably what got him censored.
Yeah, he probably thought he's being a wise ass.
That's it. That's it. And the guy's making sense. I got a phone. I got an intercom. What the hell do you guys want me? I'm not writing it down. You know why they... Yeah, I'll tell you why they censored the guy. Because he was the smartest guy in Russia. He was probably the smartest guy in the Russian army that day. And they probably just couldn't take the humiliation. The policy of the Soviet Union called for launch on warning. The Soviet Union's land radar could not detect missiles over the horizon, and waiting for positive identification would limit the response time to minutes. So in other words, they could not identify missiles once they were in the air, especially if they had come over the horizon and were imminent. So they decided, if we detect launch, we're launching ourselves. That was their way of preempting or hopefully minimizing the damage to their country on that end of things. Petrov's report would be relayed to his military superiors, who would decide whether to start a nuclear war. I guess he didn't have the...
So he did not have the authority. Would you put that cigar? I'm having a cigar. Now you can talk to Frank Gray about it.
Whew, man. Man, it smells like a turd.
You see, what they're doing is they're taking their cue from you, Phil.
No, you guys, don't say anything. I'll say it. I'm telling you, the thing stinks.
They're taking their cue from you. When you go, ooh, man, and you're waving your hand in front of your nose like someone had a bowel movement...
I can't hear you, Margaret.
Never mind.
All right, so the policy of the Soviet Union called for launch on warning. Petrov decided that all else being equal, he would prefer not to destroy the world. He sent messages declaring the launch detection a false alarm based solely on his personal belief that the U.S. did not seem likely to start an attack using only 5 missiles. Interesting, isn't that? That's a guy using his head.
Why is that?
Because he said they've only launched 5 missiles. What is that? That's not an attack. That's 5 missiles. What kind of attack is that? What is a limited nuclear strike against that would only guarantee the absolute annihilation of their country? Why would America launch 5 nuclear missiles, which essentially would guarantee our response, multiple response, which would guarantee the annihilation of the country? That's a guy using his noodle, man. Using the old noodle, baby. Just let that be a lesson to you. If you're ever in charge of the nuclear arsenal of a country.
Well, let's hope and pray that...
She's pointing at me.
I know.
That he isn't.
Yeah. All right. So that's the story of that here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Coming up next, Larry Grover is actually going to weigh in on that, and Larry is going to be with us from the Conservatives of Kern County on the recent Obama call for people to rally around the flag, baby, and help out with this... Obamacare, you know, with the public relations snafu that no doubt the computer's failing, or at least the website failure has caused Obamacare. Larry will be joining us. We also have Rudy Canoza later on in the program, a businessman, an Argentinian businessman who also owns and operates Jatem Lingerie there in the Valley, and we'll be getting the lay of the land in terms of The Economy from Rudy Canoza on our program as well. Reminder that our Game of the Week is back on Sunday at philhenryshow.com with Bud Dickman and Steve Bozell. So, and also we are continuing with our special this month, which is our Halloweeny special, man, the Pastor William Renick Silver Bullet special. Get a backstage pass, and you get a free download from us here at philhenryshow.com. So head on over, man. It's like I think it's really worth it.
It's just to die for.
It really is. All right. We'll be right back here on the world famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. And welcome back to the world famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. And we'll be with you till 10 o'clock on the West Coast, 1 a.m. on the East Coast. Now, we do have with us Alf Petrie. Alf is from Santa Barbara, you know, Margaret, and he is a longtime listener of our program. This guy used to be a just before we get into anything else, I wanted to bring this up to our great many pet owners, people that own pets and love pets, as I do. I don't have a dog or a cat, and the reason I don't have a dog or a cat is because they do take a lot of tender love and care. And, you know...
Yeah, you don't like them, though, do you?
I love animals. I love them. My testament to that is the photograph that was taken of me by Elaine and her boyfriend when they were in our studios here not too long ago with their beautiful retriever. Remember that dog?
Yeah, that old dog? Yeah, that dog was an old mutt. He probably didn't even know there was a human there.
What is that supposed to mean?
Well, if he was old, Phil, he looked like he was blind. Did he even know that you were human, or he thought you were another dog? I mean, I don't mean anything by that.
He thought I was another dog.
Yeah, he's blind.
He knew I was a human because he was looking at me. So he wasn't blind either. He looked up at me, he wagged his tail, then he turned and he got in the car.
Yeah, because you want to be with him.
Right. Anyway, never mind, okay? Anyway, with us here is Alf Petrie in Santa Barbara tonight, and we're going to talk to him just very, very briefly about a story that I thought was that warranted our attention. Alf, how are you tonight?
Well, I was wondering if you were going to call me anytime.
Well, we're here talking to you right now, Alf. This story about these jerky treats, this is dog food or cat food or something?
Yeah, this is a dried food. It's a dried jerky treat, and it's a food is a snack food for dogs and cats.
Okay. I understand that there is one or two brands of this stuff that's making the dogs sick. And it's obviously maybe causing fatalities. Yeah, 600 pets have died from this brand. Do you have any information on the name of the? Hold on for a minute, Alf. I'm trying to get my glasses on.
Go ahead.
I can't get my glasses on because I'm wearing a hat that keeps me from putting my glasses on. So.
Yeah, I was looking on your video cast. The hat you're wearing, you look. You should take it off because I don't think it looks good on you, but that's just my opinion. It looks very goofy-like, you know.
Is that right? Okay, well, hold on for a minute.
Yeah, I don't know why he said it does look asinine, but I don't think you should take it off.
I'm wearing it, man, because I happen to want to wear the hat instead of my bald head glowing in the sun, okay? Okay, Alf, do you know the title of, or the,
title?
I mean, the name of these jerky treats?
I don't know the name. There's 500 dogs and cats that have reported, and there's the FDA's Center for Veterinary Medicine says that the dogs have been taken ill. But one of the things you don't want to do is give them a jerky treat. You always want to give them fresh meats and vegetables.
Meats and vegetables?
Hold on for a minute. It's Milo's Kitchen Jerky. It's Milo's Tasty Turkey Turkey Treat.
Milo's Tasty Turkey Treat.
It's from Del Monte Corporation, and it's the chicken, and it's a chicken griller. It's made a dog sick, and you're going to find a lot of people who are going to look at the title of that, and I'm going to talk about elderly people, but anybody would find that to be appetizing. And then we want to put the warning out to people, too, because when you look at a chicken griller, of course, it seems appetizing.
If it says dog food, no one's going to eat it.
No, you're right. No one should eat, but when it says chicken griller and tasty chops and chicken or turkey tidbits, you find that to be attractive.
Well, are you saying, Alf, this is Margaret.
How are you, dear?
I'm good. Are you saying that humans are eating this?
No, we have no reports of a human, but I looked at a can of the Milo Tasty Tidbit Turkey Chicken, and...
What is the name of this stuff, okay? You're giving me a lot of different names here.
I told you, it's Milo's Chicken. It's a jerky treat, Phil. It's made by Del Monte Corporation.
All right, so let's just tell people Del Monte... Milo's. This is Milo. What, is that the name of that cat?
I'm sorry?
Wasn't Milo the name of that cat? I'm getting a lot of blank stares. Wasn't that the name of a cat?
The name of a cat? I don't know.
Well, there was a Milo or something. Wasn't there a cartoon or something?
What are you talking about?
Wasn't there a Milo? Everybody's looking at me dummy. Dummy. I mean, they're giving me the dummy look.
Everyone's looking at you dummy? Did you just call yourself dummy?
Never mind. It was a cat, I know, because I saw it on TV. His name was Milo, and he traveled from town to town.
Oh, okay.
What are you talking about, travel from town to town?
It's like when you said an elephant go town to town.
This was a cat on TV that went from, not town to town, but he went from farm to farm.
What, doing odd jobs?
That's pretty good, gotta admit.
Yeah, that's real funny.
What are you talking about, went from farm to farm?
He was a little tiny cat. And he made friends with the other animals. It was a kid's show, man. And he met up with a deer, and he met up with a dog, and he met up with a, you know...
Oh, I'm sure, yeah. Who else, man? Did he campaign for Obama?
That's pretty good, man. I like that one. Campaign for Obama.
You know, Alf, you can really turn a phrase.
Thank you.
Okay, never mind. Just forget it. Forget I even said anything. There's a reason why they call this stuff Milo.
Maybe it's named after a guy in the company. Maybe a guy by the name of Milo Del Monte. Come up with the idea. You know, you wouldn't know. You can't know, can you? You can never know these things, can we?
Sure, I think we can, man. It's not like a black hole.
What?
It's not like a scientific anomaly of some kind. Yes, we... What do you mean we can never know these things?
I don't know why they call it Milo. All I know is it's a chicken tender treat. Let me get my glasses here, Phil. You had a hard time putting your glasses on. I'll put my glasses on. Now, what I got here, Phil, says is Del Monte Corporation. Also, there's another one, Phil, for your listeners to please take note of this. Nestle's Purina Pet Care Company, Wagon Train, Canyon Creek Ranch, and Steak Treat. That's the Wagon Train and Canyon Creek Ranch. Now, I don't know where that is. I got a map out. And
what do you mean, a map? That's just the name of the food.
No, I understand it's the name of the food.
Well, is that a real place?
Are you telling me that's a real place?
Well, it said it's Nestle's Purina Pet Care, Wagon Train, and Canyon Creek Ranch. I'm assuming this is where it was made, and maybe there's somebody there to give us some answers.
No, man, they didn't name the food after a real place. Canyon Creek Ranch, that makes it more appetizing, I guess. Like it's a barbecued, you know.
What, talk about having a barbecue for a cat?
Yeah, they liable to barbecue the cat, not have one for a cat.
Oh, for God's sake.
Well, I mean, I don't know what Phil's trying to say.
I'm telling you that there's no way... I'm betting you money there's no canyon...
Kagan?
Canyon Creek Ranch. There's no such place. It's the name of the product. Now, the next one here is what, Del Monte?
Yeah, the next one is Del Monte Milo... Del Monte Corp Milo Kitchen. Well, let it see. Del Monte Corp's. I know it's not going to... They're not talking about a Del Monte. If the cat is dead as a result of eating the Del Monte treat, it's a Del Monte corpse, isn't it? I'm joking.
Okay, fine. Thank you.
All right. But the Milo's Kitchen Geez, I can't... There's too much meat here.
That's what she said. Ow!
What did I tell you about that?
I will get up and leave if I hear that one more time.
What did I tell you about that?
Sorry.
I thought it's where the kid was trying to do the best that he can with what the material he had.
We're not here to do jokes now. I want to know about the name of this product so that people who are cat and dog owners and lovers will, you know, avoid it.
All right, well, it's called Del Monte Corp. Milo's Kitchen Chicken Ticket Chicken Turkey. I don't know. There's too much chicken here. But you, anything that says Del Monte and chicken, I'd avoid it.
No, if it's pet food, right?
Yeah, if it's dog or cat food, and they're called dog treats, and the other smaller retailers also call it treats. So this is the dog treat. My point is this. feed your animals meat, feed your animals the grain. The dog should have kibble and meat. The cat should have just straight meat and water. That's all they need. Don't give them the garbage. Keep the garbage away from your pets. They don't need to have no treat, and they don't need to have no gravy, and they don't need to have anything that makes their stool run out like chocolate milk all over the carpeting. And I don't know if you've ever had to clean that up.
Yes, I got it.
Okay, and it is as disgusting a thing as you'll ever see in your life. And that's what you get for your trouble. That's what you get for feeding your cat or your dog gravy and heating up a stew and all of this baloney. Give the cat meat. Meat! As I, what I say to and my wife, I love her, my wife of 61 years, is like, what do you call for every night? And he says, meat, you know. And now the chicken tiblet.
All right, so thank you very much.
Well, don't hang up on the old man, Phil. It's rude.
I understand, but it's... talk to him, bud, will you?
Yeah, A-R-F. Yeah, good, yeah. Way to go, man.
Keep it down, will you? The cat was going on and on and on, okay? Thank you very much. Alf, the reason why we have Alf, Alf Petrie was a wrangler for many years in Hollywood. Not just, he wasn't a horse wrangler. He wrangled cats and dogs.
Yes, that was his, he had a dog training a company.
He had a dog training company, and then he started working for these production companies, and he was wrangling dogs and cats for TV shows. So he knows how to feed them, and he knows how to take care of them. I wouldn't say he's any dog whisperer, but by the same token, he ain't bad. But boy, when he starts going off on a tangent... And I'm gathering what he meant to say and what he did say was, don't feed your dogs or your cats any of this processed crap. Just feed them.
Well, yes, feed them meat, and for the dogs, the kibble. The dogs must have the kibble. No alternative. Must have kibble. Okay.
Where is this, Beirut?
Take it easy. All right. Thank you, Margaret.
What do you mean, Beirut?
Well, what is this? All of a sudden, a hostage takeover? No alternative.
They must have the kibble.
All right, they must have kibble. Okay, great. Thank you very much, Margaret Gray, with that little bit of insight. Thank you very much, Alf. And we're coming back here on a world-famous Phil Henry Show with more, including a visit from our good friend Larry Grover and the Obamacare thang, as well as a little bit more background on that whole Russian missile launch some 30 years ago. World-famous Phil Henry Show. And welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. We're here at 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445. And I am very, very pleased to have Larry Grover with us. We're always pleased to have you on, Larry, as much as I know you think we give you a hard time. I'm sorry, I don't agree with you in terms of your political outlook, but I think you're a good man, and it's always good to have you on the program.
I got to tell you, Phil, thank you very much for those very kind words. I appreciate that very much.
Larry, let's talk first about the issue of this little topic that was sort of curiosity to me, and that was some 30 years ago, 30 years and a month, the false detection of a missile launch in the United States of 5 missiles read in the Soviet Union, and it was a Colonel Petrov who was on duty that night looking at this war board, if you will, or this missile board, and deciding it had to be a false alarm, which indeed it was, and he did not contact his superiors and did not recommend a retaliation. And frankly, this was the example of one very good officer. Talk about a guy at the right place at the right time, huh?
Well, yeah, and I, you know, my hat's off to him. There is no question that Colonel Petrov was a... you know, the man of the hour. You know, you just said it, Phil. A guy.
I'm sorry, Larry. This is Gloria, Phil.
How are you doing, Gloria?
I saw this Colonel Petrov.
Mother, if you get off the phone, I don't want to have to battle with her tonight, Phil. Because I'll tell you this right now, Mother. If I've got to battle with you for the phone, I'm going to do something that I will regret for the rest of my life, Mother.
Larry.
What, Larry, come on.
No, I mean it. I will do something that I will regret for the rest of my life. And I will be staring at four walls and they will be, my God, for the rest of my life. I'm sorry, Phil, to have to put it that graphically, but that's the last time she wrestles a phone out of my hands.
All right. I mean, what? Do you, why such an extreme?
Because I'm getting tired of it. Every time I'm on the phone with you, she comes up, grabs the phone, and I took the extensions out of your room, Mother, so forget that. Because if I will, for the rest of my, I will do something that I will regret.
I know, Larry, for the rest of your life.
Yes, that's right. Well, look at that. She doesn't even take me seriously. Oh, baby. Phil, as I was saying, the detection of these missile strikes, she's going outside with her cell phone. I won't answer. I won't listen to the call waiting.
Okay.
She's going outside with her cell phone. Are you ready for that? I would recommend, Phil, that you not put her on the air.
Do you hear that, Bud? Don't put Mrs. Grover on the air if she calls in.
Yeah.
All right, so it was, 30 years ago, as you indicated, Phil, that this fine officer, Colonel Petrov, decided... what?
Thank you for taking my call, Phil.
Oh, baby!
Give me that phone. Give me the phone, Bud.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean...
Mrs. Grover?
Yeah.
No. No, 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 no. No, no, no. I don't want to put you on the air. Where's Larry right now? You see him... No, you're not on the air. You see him inside the house. What's he doing? Throwing pillows? And he's biting a pillow. Mrs. Grover, you really got to lay off of your son, because what you're doing is you're humiliating him for your own personal laughs, okay? You can't do that. I think it's why Larry has a problem getting dates. I think it's why Larry has a dysfunctionality when it comes to relating to women. Yes, I do blame you. Yes, I do blame you. And I think that he's living with you. He's in his 40s. Look at the man. He's a mess. And I think it all goes back to his relationship with you. Quit torturing the guy. I'm sorry. I'm sorry to have to be honest with you. I'm sorry. Do I treat my mother this way? My mother's been gone a few years now. Did I kill her? Hang up on her. Wow. Hey, Larry?
Yeah. Okay, so you got a load out of mother, didn't you, there? See, now you understand. Now you know, okay?
Larry, no one ever doubted you, okay? But the fact is that you put up with it. That's what we don't understand.
Why are you living there, man? Why don't you move out?
I'm putting my money together for the deposit on an apartment.
For the deposit on an apartment, man? You sound like you're in your 20s. You're putting your money together for the deposit on an apartment. How long you been living with her? 12 years now?
Well, what is this all of a sudden? I'm coming on your program, and I'm going to have my life paraded in front of everybody like someone just yanked my pants off? And let's take a look and see just exactly what he's got going on there? Go ahead and whip it out and lay it on the bar, and let's go ahead and throw bets? I mean, Phil, this is something...
All right, let's forget all about it, and let's get back to the Russian thing and get back to Obamacare, because that's what I want to talk about, okay? Man, where's your mother right now?
She's making supers coffee. She doesn't give a sweet you-know-what. Yeah, she's not going to do anything, because you told her, right?
I told her, I basically read her the Riot Act, okay?
Well, she doesn't care about that. All that psychology?
Yeah, I told her the reason why you're still living at home, and...
Yeah, she doesn't care about it. She knows that she destroyed my mind. She knows that my mind is a complete and utter disaster because of her. She doesn't care. She knows my subconscious is filled with all kinds of lurid and filthy images, dreams of having sex with my own...
All right. Anyway, so the Russian Colonel Petrov...
Yeah, so and as you said, Phil, he prevented this nuclear strike... And rather than congratulate him, and rather than give him what one could imagine, a well-deserved medal, a commendation of some kind, perhaps a two-week vacation, who knows, instead, he was demoted, he was stripped of his grade, he was demoted in terms of his pay, eventually he was drummed out of the service, I think, with a dishonorable discharge of whatever the Russian version of that is, and this poor man spent the remainder of the 80s a pariah, and he probably was wondering why. He was a loyal officer to the Russian army, and he was turned against the Russian army with this treatment. Well, as you mentioned, by the time the Soviet Union had been overthrown and the new democratic regime was installed, he was reinstated in the Russian army and was given his back pay. So all's well that ends well, but I think it was a just a great story.
Phil already said that. What do you know about it?
All right, Bud.
Wait, what's that?
I said Phil already said all that. What are you adding that's new?
Boy, you want $300 worth, don't you, kid? You really are. I take it from Mother.
All right, don't worry about it, Larry. But it's none of your business. Why don't you just butt out?
Well, you already said all that stuff. He could have gone on Obamacare and not even not talked about it.
Yeah, I got to make a point. That's a pretty good point. Phil already said that stuff.
Well, you guys are really asking for it, aren't you? Oh, man. I'll tell you.
Well, that doesn't mean I'm asking for it.
You know exactly what it means. I'm on the air talking about this thing that happened in Russia. I didn't want to talk about it. I wanted to talk about Obamacare, but Henry knew that I had a particular interest in that, so I talked about it. And you guys are telling me that it didn't add anything? Man, you want $300 worth.
All right, enough with the $300 worth, okay? So with the minute that we have remaining, what about Obamacare and the call to action by President Obama?
I think that President Obama is desperate. I think the president knows that he needs help. He needs big help, and he needs it now. He knows that the public relations rollout, the disastrous public relations rollout of this thing, is going to set, I think, public opinion back on this. And I think President Obama wants all of the little Obamaites and the acolytes to line up and start puckering up and just going right on the hind end of... I don't see it working.
All right, Larry, thank you.
Yeah, thanks for, next time, forget it.
Yeah, that's right. Forget it is right. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. And sorry about Mrs. Grover there, Larry, if you're still listening, which I'm sure you are.